Are we done here?
We're done.
I'm spent.
Oh, where can they well Ando, thank you for coming to record the podcast.
Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 48. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig, Sultan of the Kingdom of Ofendia.
What?
How are you, my loyal subject?
Subject? What?
I'm establishing my own kingdom.
Good for you.
We talked about this. You're my minister of slack.
Oh.
Right? No, it's the job that you don't have to do anything.
Okay, yeah, I'm on board with that.
And nobody's allowed to be, well, you're allowed to be offended, but no one is allowed to express any offense. That's the only law in the kingdom of Ofendia. Because I am tired of people complaining about who got cast as Batman. When there's real things to be worried about in the world. And having rage. I don't want to hear the word rage unless you are literally enraged.
Butthurt is a better term for that.
Yeah.
I like butthurt. I do too.
Mike likes butter. Anyway, our guest is already talking, so here he is for the with his own theme song.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, Ando. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys.
You're welcome.
Well, you don't often get a you're welcome when you thank somebody these days. It's like good customer service right there.
Burger. Excellent customer service in podcasting.
That's right.
Really? That's okay. But thank you again. We had a glitch. Somebody had to drop today.
I was the replacement.
Ando volunteered, was very enthusiastic the last time he was on here to become a regular guest. And I thought since it's going to be like 3 months plus before he could be on because we're scheduled up, I'd offer this up to him.
Oh, so it wasn't just a replacement, huh?
Well, you stood up, you stepped up, and you helped out. That's points. We've had a couple people do that where suddenly somebody's not
usually
available.
Usually via Skype, though.
Yeah.
I don't live too far away from here, so it's
well,
all
that's good.
So we're all here again.
Yep. We're all thawed out again.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
You know,
we got a nice storm. Everybody went home. There was no gridlock like last time. Everybody just stayed home for 2 days.
Everybody just stayed home, yeah. Unlike in North Carolina.
Were they
Charlotte and Raleigh both had snow jams
where they lost their minds?
Yeah. Did you see the one picture from Raleigh, I think it was, with
nope.
cars scattered on the snow covered road, and in the distance there's one car completely engulfed in flames, and like in the foreground there's just this woman on her cell phone.
Oh, walking. Yeah, I've seen that photo, and then somebody fixed it and put an AT-AT walker way in the background.
Well, did you see the Star Wars Olympics mashup thing that somebody did?
No.
With people bailing going on the downhill skiing, and they mixed it in with footage of the AT-ATs firing, and then they superimposed the
laser shots. They go flying.
Yeah.
Oh,
that sounds very amusing.
Congratulations, future. We are living in you, and that's what you give us. Do we have news type stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Want some real life TV news?
Sure.
Things from TV happening in real life. Doctor diagnoses man with help from TV's house. Did you hear about this?
Oh, did somebody watch an episode of House and say, "Hey, that's what my patient has"?
Well, a doctor in Germany who is a big fan of House got this patient with these weird symptoms, and he's like, "Hey, you know what? I saw this on TV," and he turned out he was right.
Well, it wasn't lupus.
It was cobalt poisoning from. From a worn-out hip replacement, which happened to Cuddy's mother, played by, what's her name? Murphy Brown.
Candace Bergen.
Thank you.
You're
All I
welcome.
Think of was Candace Cameron. I'm like, that's not right.
Wow.
It's a couple generations off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Way to go, TV.
Woohoo.
Do you have anything?
On a related note, TV
yes.
in the real world. Have you heard about the guy who did the study on computer usage in the television show Law and Order?
Computer usage.
Yes. Law and Order was on for over 20 years.
Yes.
So it documents kind of how we use computers.
And advances in technology in general.
Right. And unlike cell phones, unlike CSI, it doesn't like have this kind of neo-futuristic technology that doesn't really exist yet. On Law and Order, it was always very slice of life, you know, ripped from the headlines. So when they used computers the way people actually used computers in the day.
Right.
And this guy went through and screen captured every shot of a computer
This is going to be like 95% people at their desks.
Right. But
what he has way too much free time.
What they found was very interesting that it's something we just don't think about because you think about how you use computers today, but think 20 years ago. On the show, if they showed a computer back at the beginning of the show, it was generally on a back table away from everybody else's desk, and it was turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you used a computer for something, you went over, turned it on, did the thing, and then turned it off. And so it took until like the third season of the show before you even see a computer that's turned on.
Yeah.
And then they slowly, over the course of the seasons, migrate from back tables in the corner to being on the back of somebody's cubicle, not on the front main desk part, but behind them. So mm-hmm. they have to turn around to use it. And then they go back to their desk and they do the real work on their desk. And then it slowly migrated
to the real work with the pencil and the paper and the typewriter and the phone.
Right. And then it slowly migrated around to the front onto the main part of the desk. And then they also noticed that there's a difference in how people interact that we don't necessarily think about, where when in the midway run of the show, when people were sitting at their computer doing something and somebody else came over to talk to them, they stopped working on their computer and they turned and they engaged that person in conversation. And when that conversation was done, only then did they go back to the computer. And then as the show went on, and as we know in real life now, it's like if I'm sitting at work and somebody comes over to talk to me and I'm working on something that I can multitask both of them, I just sit there clicking away on my computer while having the conversation. All the way to the point where, like in the very final seasons of the show, they would show like three or four detectives on the scene and they'd all be discussing the case and dialogues flying back and forth. And one of them would whip out the smartphone and pull up some information while the discussion was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those shows that was in the right place at the right time to document
that shift,
that change in how we deal with our technology.
That is really interesting.
And a guy got a grant. He bought the Law and Order box set, started watching and was like, and went out and petitioned for like a couple thousand bucks, set up his computer and his DVD player and got like a little automated. He had a little system put in place where mm-hmm. all he had to do was click a button and it would just take a screen cap and automatically save it off. And then he put it all together and he wrote a little report.
Now, did he do this with just regular Law and Order or did he include all of the spinoffs?
Law and Order.
Okay. Not Law and Order colon something something.
No, just the original one. Okay. Maybe he'll get another another grant and do the other Law and Order scream at people until they admit they're guilty, and Law and Order rape. Because that's what the other two are called, right?
Yeah.
As far Special as Victims Unit is just, I mean, it's always like sexual something. It's assault or rape or stalking or all that kind of stuff. And then you remarked that. Is it Law and Order? Yeah, Law and Order, the one with Vincent D'Onofrio.
Criminal intent,
where it just every episode ends with him yelling at
the
guilty guy until the guilty guy gives in.
Yeah, he yells at them until they admit what they did.
It's a Vincent D'Onofrio's superpower.
Yeah, it's a very believable show up until the last 5 minutes. But also, what's fun to watch the entire span of Criminal Intent is to watch his head get bigger, because his head does get bigger. Actually, all of him gets bigger, but especially his head.
Well, that's because that's on the screen most, right?
Yeah.
So you slowly watch his face get bigger. His face gets fatter as he gets older.
Allison refers to that as Law and Order with the big guy. How about news? Crazy news?
Crazy news. Okay.
Did you hear about this? A sinkhole opened up in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
That's crazy.
Directly underneath the showroom floor of the Corvette Museum.
Wow.
Yeah. Talk about your bad timing and placement.
Well, the only thing that would make that more poetic is if it opened up underneath, like, a storage facility for backhoes. For things that are designed to dig.
Yeah.
And well, make big holes.
Bulldozers.
Did you actually know that a sinkhole opened up in Woodstock during the snowpocalypse too? Yeah, like off the town like Parkway exit, some dude tried to gun it and ended up like getting out of control off the road, hit a hydrant, and the ground was already soaked from the rain, and it just the car just started sinking. There's pictures of it. It's like the car is half underground, and they're just like, well, there's no way we can get it out now.
Yeah, we get those here.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm. They could just swallow you up at any moment.
Oh, wonderful. As if so we've hurricanes got, and inclement winter weather and tornadoes.
Hurricanes, ice storms, tornadoes, sinkholes. We had an earthquake in South Carolina that they felt here the other night.
The ground
supposedly, although I was awake and I didn't feel it. But.
Yeah, I think I slept through it.
I love it when people go nuts about a 4.0 earthquake three states away. Did you feel that? No, I was doing dishes. I mean, me alone.
Actually,
yeah, no, my cell phone was going off in my pocket, so no, I couldn't feel it.
Actually, like back when I was in college, there was an earthquake that I actually did feel. Like, legitimately, I woke up one morning and I wondered, like, I thought my mom was doing the run of the vacuum cleaner or something at first because of the shaking, but then I didn't hear any noise, and I could put my hand on the wall and I could feel the vibration. It lasted for maybe 20 minutes or something that I could feel. It was really weird.
It always seems like they happen in the middle of the night. Or late at night, middle of the night, very early in the morning before anybody wakes up.
It's weird how that is.
How about, did you hear about this? This is awesome. Speaking of living in the future, Taco Bell is introducing mobile ordering nationwide later this year.
Oh, good. So I not only, because stopping at a drive-thru at Taco Bell where they just have 15 ingredients ready to go onto a different platter isn't fast enough.
No.
I have to be able to text while I'm driving.
Yeah, so that
endangering the lives of children and people around me. Children and people, like children aren't people.
Children are people too.
Well, check it out. The app will allow users to find their closest restaurant, display pricing specific to that location, along with customized menu selections and more. Users will be able to use Taco Bell gift cards or stored credit cards with orders flagged in the restaurant as from a mobile device. Then the app determines the user's location to determine when they are near the restaurant, and only then will it send the order to be prepared.
Okay, pro tip. If you are in a car, you're close to a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Jeez.
That's now, the only way this could be better is if they start delivering.
Actually,
I will never have to leave the house.
Tying together topics, during the first snowpocalypse, my wife and I actually walked to the Taco Bell one night when we just needed something to eat. It was when it started thawing enough for people that people could actually get out, but our neighborhood was still too icy, so we just walked to Taco Bell.
Should have skated. Buy some skates that you won't use again for 4 years.
Yeah.
The closest thing to here is like a, I think it's a McDonald's, and it's about a mile and a half away.
Yeah, you're kind of out in the sticks here relative to the metro area.
Not something you want to walk.
You're
walk
in nature.
On ice.
You're out in nature.
I have lots more news, but if you have anything.
I have something.
Do you have anything fast food related?
No.
Convenience related?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dateline, East Jordan, Michigan. It isn't kryptonite or a supervillain threatening to tear apart the Michigan Protectors crime fighting group. It's themselves. Apparently there's some infighting in a Michigan superhero group.
Oh, no. Is this like the ones that we
like
have
the
here?
Ones that we have here, yeah. The Protectors are a group of people who fight crime while dressed as superheroes, and a feud between members Petoskey Batman and Bee Sting.
Petoskey Batman?
That's what it says about who should be the leader is causing big problems within the dozen-member group.
Wow.
So this is like a full-on Justice League.
Seriously.
It's not like the duo, husband and wife duo that we have here.
And I'll do my best Mike impression when I read these. He is an abusive, neglectful, thieving, boastful, cowardly crook, said Mark Williams, a.k.a. Petoskey Batman of Bee Sting. He belongs in jail, and I will see him there. It drives me insane. I will scream from the rooftops until Bee Sting is shown for what he truly is. I changed voice, even though I'm still talking.
Talking to the same guy.
Yeah. I thought it was going to bounce back and forth between the two people. Bee Sting, great pre-production. Bee Sting, whose real name is Adam Besso, is critical of Williams for having two girlfriends. I would have thought these guys would have had
no girlfriends. Jeez.
He has to tear others down to feel better about himself, Besso said. He's like Lord of the Flies with a slightly better version of Dirtbags. So he's making Lord of the Flies references.
Wow.
They also gave away their secret identities, man.
It's unclear how this battle will end. We were brothers, William said. I loved him as much as I love my own blood family. Oh, so maybe we'll get an update down the road when one of them murders the other one.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why are they giving away their real identities?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of being a superhero, that, you know, in a costume. You're not yourself, you know?
They apparently have learned nothing from Spider-Man.
Well, apparently the one guy's too busy with his two girlfriends to care.
Well, I mean, okay, is there some kind of reference I'm not getting for Potoski? I mean...
That wasn't his name. Yeah. Is that where he's from?
It's like, I'm going to be Batman, but I'm going to be Potoski Batman.
Yeah, it's a...
I'm Potoski Batman.
It's a city in Michigan.
Your voice isn't gravelly enough. Gargle some thumbtacks or something.
It's a city in Michigan.
I'm Potoski Batman. Wow. Where is he?
Oh, wow.
Where is he?
And then Indiana Jones answers, he went down and then put him in the factory and blow it up. That's my Harrison Ford impression.
Pretty good. And
if I was going to be a superhero, I would definitely be Captain Obvious. I know there's a lot of that's a common name that people give, but I mean, if there's one thing that I'm very good at, it is restating the most obvious stuff.
If you just kind of juggle the letters and add one in there, you could be Captain Oblivious.
Well, I could be that too, probably.
What else you got, Mike?
So we talked about Windows 8 and how they're coming out with they're coming out with another update that's going to reverse all of Windows 8.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's great.
We hate it.
I'm not going to read from this because it's just, you know, once you start, and it just goes on and on. But Paul Thurrott, it's two T's, so I'm going to say it's Thurrott, not Throw. I don't care.
I really don't care. But Paul
he's a pro Windows guy, and even he has turned on them. It's the article called "What the Heck is Happening to Windows?" And he just goes on and on about you know, this reverse course. But anyway, so Andy Borowitz of the Borowitz Report in the New Yorker wrote a nice little fun satire.
Okay. Is it Nerd Burger podcast theater again? Mm-hmm. You're going to do voices? Maybe I can do sound effects?
Sure. Like,
if there's any weather effects or anything like that, you can do those, Andy, because I don't have any weather sound effects.
All right.
Okay. Bill Gates spends entire first day back in office trying to install Windows 8.1.
Cool.
Wait. Back in office? He's back?
Yeah, they brought him back.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I just hadn't heard it yet.
Well, they named a new CEO to replace Ballmer.
Right.
And, that guy's got some crazy foreign-sounding name. Satya Nadella.
That's offensive.
But they've also brought...
That's racist!
But you're in the kingdom of Offendia, and you're not allowed to be express.
Okay, so I
being
can't...
offended. You can point out that there's racist. You can't say, but I'm offended.
Well, okay, fine. Continue, Mike, please.
Dateline, Redmond, Washington. Bill Gates' first day at work in the newly created role of technology advisor got off to a rocky start yesterday as the Microsoft founder struggled for hours to install the Windows 8.1 upgrade. The installation hit a snag early on, sources said, when Mr. Gates repeatedly received an error message informing him that his PC ran into a problem that it could not handle and needed to restart. After failing to install the upgrade by lunchtime, Mr. Gates summoned the new Microsoft CEO, Satya Nadella, who attempted to help him with the installation, but with no success. While the two men worked behind closed doors, one source described the situation as tense.
I bet.
Bill is usually a pretty calm guy, so it was weird to hear some of that language coming out of his mouth, the source said. A Microsoft spokesman said only that Mr. Gates' first day in his new job had been, quote, a learning experience, and that for the immediate future, he would go back to running Windows 7.
I find this incredibly amusing.
But yeah, we'll link to the...
You're welcome, Nerd Burger audience. You've had your weekly dose of Mike bashing Windows on Microsoft.
I can't help it. These stories just keep coming and coming.
Dude, when it comes to Windows 8, it writes itself, man.
But we'll link to that Paul Thurrott article. Definitely read it. It's It's interesting to see somebody who's been cheerleading them all along just suddenly turn.
Okay.
I just looked at the idea that Bill Gates himself couldn't get Windows 8 the updates installed, and he had to go back to 7.
That would be called poetic.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have
something else poetic. A little later on, teaser.
Ooh. I have one more story. Ooh. Now we're bringing it full circle back to TV movies.
Very good.
Okay.
Becoming a reality. Nike designer says self-lacing Back to the Future shoes will arrive in 2015.
Oh, man.
The fictional Nike Air Mag sneakers from Back to the Future Part 2 became a reality in 2011 when Nike auctioned off 1,500 pairs to benefit the Michael J. Fox Foundation. The shoes featured a glowing LED panel, an electroluminescent Nike logo, and a battery that kept them lighted for 5 hours between charges. There was just one problem. They didn't lace themselves automatically the way they did in the movie. But that may be about to change. The website, get ready for this, Soul, S-O-L-E Collector, reports that during an appearance in New Orleans.
I kind of like that name.
Nike design. Well, it's clever, but yeah. But there's a website about shoes.
Okay.
If you can think it, it's there.
Yeah.
Nike designer Tinker Hatfield.
I got news for you. There's also websites about people with photographs of women licking shoes.
Of course.
Rule 34.
Yeah. Drinking things out of shoes.
Putting heels on and walking on men's junk.
Yeah. And sticking them in places.
Rule 34.
Rule 34?
Rule 34 of the internet? You don't know the rules of the internet? Okay. Rule 34 is if it exists, there's porn of it.
Yeah.
And the corollary is if it doesn't exist yet, it will.
And that all goes back to a 20-year-old.
The line we
Patton
use all the time.
Oswald,
right. The line we use is if you can think of it, there's an entire community dedicated to it.
That just doesn't go as far as there's also porn of it. So
well, it's they build upon each other.
True.
Anyway, Tinker Hatfield suggests suggested.
Hold it. Is that a title or is that the person's first name?
Nike designer Tinker Hatfield.
Please tell me that the middle name is Bell. Please.
I don't know. We'll have to Google him or her.
I've got to see a photo.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, he. It's a he. Okay. Tinker Hatfield suggested that Marty McFly's dream shoes might be on their way after all. Quote, "Are we going to see power laces in 2015? He said, according to the publication. To that I say, yes! There's no telling how serious Hatfield is, but he's certainly given sneakerheads reason to hope. If only the outlook for flying cars were as bright.
He's kind of unremarkable looking.
Yeah, well,
he's just a like 45-year-old dude
with glasses. Dude, the picture I got, he's kind of got this visionary far off look. Like
yeah. He's standing there with his arms outstretched toward the sky.
It's one of those artistic portraits where all black. He's wearing a black shirt, so all you see is his head.
Now here's the thing, though. His name is Tinker.
Is that short for something?
No, I don't know. No, according to this, his name is Tinker Haven Hatfield. But he's a
junior.
He's a Hatfield. And for those of you who know the Hatfields and McCoys, the whole story behind that is, you know, feuding Southern families. So it makes me think that, like, you know, this is like, what was it, the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia with the woman who's, what was her name?
Kirk?
Kirk, yeah, the girl named Kirk. That it's just one of those weird, yeah, it's like this Southern country bumpkin-ish.
Hillbilly. Not necessarily. Okay. It's hillbilly.
And what's funny is
where Tinker is like, that's a name. That's a thing. You know, like every other generation, there's a Tinker.
What's funny is he's...
There might even be a Tinker Jr. out there somewhere.
No, that's the point.
I come from a long line of Tinkers.
He is... Dude,
me
he,
and my enlarged tongue.
He is Tinker Hatfield Jr.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He is. His father's also Tinker Hatfield.
And if he has a child... A boy.
Tinker Hatfield the third. Esquire, probably.
Wow. He is junior. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Trey, for short.
That's spectacular.
And he's actually 61.
Whatever.
I was going to say, do his friends call him Tink?
I hope so. So, Ando, you want to talk RPGs and not rocket-propelled grenades.
Oh, no. Of course not.
Tabletop role playing.
I was hoping for a demonstration.
Well, you see, I brought with me today
my. I actually
looked on the floor.
I watched him when he walked in. He was not carrying a bazooka.
Well, there's actually stuff on the floor over
it's
there.
My
there,
water
you,
bottle.
There usually isn't, and a AC adapter.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Something
rocket about, propelled grenade.
Something about D&D.
Yeah, my last week, I have had a group doing a level 1 to 30 D&D 4E campaign, and we just wrapped it up last week. It actually.
How long did that run total? Right, went from like when it came out.
Well, yeah,
that's like 4 or 5 years.
That's what I was going to say. It shouldn't have taken as long as it did, but it was basically almost 5 years. We had a lot of delays. We had like 6 month periods where we didn't play anything. I mean,
sure, life happens.
Yeah, exactly. But we went all the way from level 1 to level 30,
which is as high as the game goes.
Yeah,
5 years.
It should not have taken that long. Right? It really, really should not.
But the fact that you stuck with it, you took 6 months off at a time and then went back to it.
Yeah, well, at first, like the early days of the campaign, there weren't those long breaks. We'd have like a week where people couldn't make it, so we would call it off.
Did you lose players to moving?
Yes, actually, one dude moved to New York. That's why he's left the campaign.
Were children born?
Not with our group, but okay. but what I'm getting at is we didn't have all those delays, but by the time we started getting to where life was happening and people were having difficulties with jobs and scheduling and stuff, we actually were. It was mostly stubbornness. We're like, we started this, and dang it, we're going to finish it.
Right. So, if you get started and you are fairly consistent off the bat, you know, out of the gate, you get to a point where
you're invested in the characters.
There's an investment, and there's a certain level of dedication.
Dude,
we're going to do this no matter what.
Well, yeah, seriously, I love the characters. Even though I'm kind of glad to be out of the planning for constant doing sessions every week, I'm going to miss playing with those characters. They're great. They're great characters.
He fell in love with imaginary people.
Not like that. Although
5 years is a long time.
Yeah, that's a long campaign. I've never played in a campaign that ran that long.
But we did actually have a fair amount of shifting. Like we started with a group of 6 characters, and by the end it was a group of 4 characters, of which only 3 were from the original group, and there had been people who had come in, people who had left.
Sure.
You know, but it was by the end we had a pretty unstoppable group. We had a cleric, a rogue, a fighter, and a warlock, and it was great.
Okay, so you got all the bases covered.
Yeah.
Go D&D. For people out there who don't particularly care about D&D and don't find this amusing, I'm going to interject every so often with a list of a few entries from a list of architecture and construction terms that sound dirty. Okay?
All right.
Column erection.
Just going for the jugular there right out of the gate.
I don't think you need to go any further.
Oh, that's middle of the road on this list, actually. King stud. Pipe penetration. Okay, back to D&D.
Fire cock.
Aww.
Did I steal one from you?
Well, one of the things I was going to bring up is just that now I even forgot where I was.
Oh. So it'll be like a game. I'll just bust out with these every so often and see if Ando can stay on track.
You've already beaten me.
Next topic.
Seriously.
Next time on Derailing Ando. Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go. Derailing. See, actually, you put me back on the rails by saying that.
All right.
Do we have any train sound effects?
No.
So what we one of the things that I wanted to bring up was just that if any of you are interested in D&D or RPGs or are enjoying it already, derailing is one of those things that happens frequently when it comes to RPGs. The guy who was doing the cleric, he has a saying he frequently says whenever I'd obviously be like, okay, you guys screwed something I planned up, and he'd be like, plot, meet players. And yeah. it's really true. I mean, we had this one instance where I had a session I had planned, And I was just trying to get. It was a time passes thing. It was just supposed to be a simple little grind. I came up with some dire yetis, and so I tied it into the storyline. I had a really tenuous tie to the storyline. It was just to get them to place A, being to be given a mission by a generic king.
And on the way, they have to fight some abominable snow beasts.
Well, no, it's more that this king was holding some people, like protecting them or whatever, and they were like, hey, we need to get these people back. So my plot was, he said, okay, well, these dire yetis are hassling my kingdom. Go bloody their noses, kill like 10 of them or something, come back to me, I'll give you the people. Well, okay. It would seem reasonable to me. But I forgot that at that point there was a druid in the party who hated civilization, who hated authority, and anything that was threatening nature, he wanted to kill. And the player assumed I had put that mission in place for them to fight this king, that he'd be some powerful mage in disguise or whatever. And in the middle of the I'm giving you the mission speech, he just like straight up attacks the king. Straight up attacks him. And awesome. I'm like sitting there looking at my notes like, wait a minute, what just happened? You weren't supposed to kill the king. Ended up
Can I tell you what I would have done?
Sure.
The king dies immediately. He had one hit point. Go. Well, what do you do now?
Well, that's what I pretty much did that.
Yay!
There was
improvisation.
There was like half an hour though of this, you know, back and forth of the entire table taking sides of should he be allowed to attack the king or whatever. I finally said, okay, look, you can attack the king, but you're going to alignment shift to evil because he's lower class NPC that's just giving you a mission. He's like, but the king's evil. I'm like, no, he's not. He's a douchebag, but he's not evil. So I alignment shifted the druid to evil, and the cleric res the king, and you know, and they just
resurrected.
Resurrected. Okay. And then
for the audience as well.
You were looking at me.
Because it had taken most of the session, I'm like, okay, and he gives you the people. I mean, whatever, just take them. I didn't make him fight the Yetis.
Now he's all afraid. So the Yetis got to run rampant. So
exactly.
Did you thread it back in later and tell them about how these swarms of Yetis were coming down from the mountains, just slaughtering babies and cripples?
After that they stopped really being on the regular material plane. They started going plane hopping to other planes of existence. Oh. So they never really got a chance to see the implications of their actions.
They should have come back to the world overrun by Yetis.
If I had thought of it, I'd better.
You were called before the Yeti King.
What?
to this day,
you are responsible for our great civilization by not slaughtering us. We, our people, have flourished. We have destroyed all of your kind.
They
sorry about that.
Bow down to you like you're their god now.
To this day, we still refer to it as the Yeti King incident. It's still...
pulling cable.
I was waiting for the next one.
Reclaimed hardwood. Wall-mounted unit. If you're just tuning
like
in with
is
us.
That like a, is that like a glory hole?
Maybe. If you're tuning in, this is architecture and construction terms that sound dirty. Hip flashing. Groin vault.
That almost was too easy.
7-inch riser.
That's code, you know.
that's the vertical part of a step. Oh, yeah.
6-inch risers? Too small.
Self-tapping screws. And cockbead.
You're done?
No, there's a few others, but we can move on. I hit my favorites. I haven't run a campaign nearly that long. I've run about a year and a half of weekly, you know, year and a half of like a weekly game. It's about the longest single campaign I've run. But that was a Deadlands campaign, and that took, you know, weekly. And that the characters progressed quite a ways. And it had a full story. And
well, our group has decided we're not going to have near that strong a commitment to another RPG. We're still going to get together and play, right? But not going to try to commit to something quite that epic again.
It's difficult to keep on track for that kind of thing that long.
Well, plus after a while, it gets as a DM, it got hard to plan because I would try to be nice, and when they hit epic tier at 21st level, I gave all of them DM boons because they'd been doing a really, really good job in the campaign so far. They'd been doing great role playing. They'd won a lot of great battles. They'd wrapped up storylines. So I gave them each a little boost But it by the time it got to, but I realized around 23rd level or so that they just, I literally could not kill them. Like, in order to kill, in order to actually be able to, if I was going to try to party wipe the campaign, the party, if I was going to attempt to kill every single one of them, I would have to first kill the cleric, because the cleric had ways to pretty much instantly react to someone going down and bring them back up. But the problem was, due to powers and a magic item that he got, I would actually have to literally kill him three times in order to make him stay dead. Then I'd have to kill all the rest, but the fighter, a half-orc fighter who wore full plate mail and had resistance to all damage, it would take like forever to actually take him down too. And then and
you're dead.
No, I'm not. And the warlock actually end up becoming a lich, so even if you kill him, he still comes back. So basically, it was like, I really actually can't kill them. It's just a matter of trying to make them win as epically as possible without, you know, making it feel like a pushover.
And in 4th edition D&D, the every character, when they hit the epic tier, gets something that basically, the power is described as,
once a day when
once
you
a
die.
Day when you die, this happens, and you come back, and that, there's some
that's actually usually a 26th thing. Level, so okay, it's not well, immediately, but okay, it's still but
high enough
there.
Level. There comes a point where that's kind of, yeah, you just don't die, and it becomes just, now you can just throw everything in the kitchen sink at them.
And I did.
Right. And just let them have fun with the fact that, look at how effing powerful we are.
And then that's what, basically, I ended up, I threw in a Deus Ex Machina for after the final battle. I had a little epilogue. And the final battle was to stop the bad girl, it was a female final villain, from kicking off an ancient magical spell that she had superpowered in order to wipe out every life on every plane of every existence, including all the gods, everything would have died, just winked out of existence. And so when they beat her, I had the spell fall down. It's like and they figured out they couldn't stop it from happening, but they could redirect it. But they weren't powerful enough to like just, you know, make it not happen at all. So the cleric that I would have had to kill three times just sacrificed his life to get winked out of existence. So I still gave him a way to die. He was a very sacrificial character, so.
But you put it in the hands of the player.
Yes, I gave them the choice that somebody had to do it, and he just, like, took it. And then, of course,
and that makes for a memorable story moment. That's a story that
it also made for a memorable
you and
moment.
He and the rest of the people in the group are going to tell down the road. It's like, and that then, time I sacrificed my incredibly powerful character.
And then, of course, my wife started singing "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing" because it was the sacrifice moment.
Don't wanna close. It's Aerosmith song
from Armageddon.
Don't wanna fall asleep because I miss you, baby, and I don't wanna miss a thing.
Keep going.
No, I'm not Dave. I don't have Dave's lovely voice.
I should have auto-tuned that. In hindsight,
I don't think it would have helped.
No, I don't think it's powerful enough.
Your computer would have broke.
Hey, it's
Dave.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
It's okay. I was trying to defend Dave, but oh well.
It's been a couple of weeks, but do we want to go back quick, Mike, and touch on American Horror Story?
Yes.
Okay. First season. Ando, you said you've watched the first season.
Most of the first season.
Okay, just didn't get into it.
It wasn't really my thing.
Petered out on you?
Yeah. Okay.
I enjoyed the first season very much. I've watched it twice. I've watched the second season twice, enjoyed that quite a bit. Got into the third season, was like, whoa, look at all this crazy stuff that's happening, all kinds of storylines, great actors, great characters.
And then it wore you out.
It's not that it wore me out. I just think the last three episodes are really disappointing.
Do tell.
There were. I mean, were you, how did you feel about the end? Were you fine? Were you
I was
good?
Fine with it, yeah.
Okay, I was disappointed. I was like, really? Because they like there were storylines that they just kind of like, well, we'll just kind of let's see, well, this and then this happens and we'll just sweep that under the rug.
That was the whole season, though. It was very kind of.
But they did, yeah. It just got like, I was hoping that they, you know, they'd build to something more at the end.
They fell victim to their own setup with the fact that everybody could resurrect everyone else.
Yeah,
nobody could die.
They fell victim. Yeah, nobody could die in that season because everybody had the ability to bring people back from the dead.
The stakes weren't as high.
And there was supposed to be, you know, you would like to see that, well, okay, if they can't die, that maybe when they come back, they're somehow changed or there's some, you know, there's some effect on them and that drives part of the story. And there was really none of that except for Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
He came back as a Frankenstein monster and spent most of the season until he kind of got his act together at the end.
Well, that happened with everybody that got resurrected to some degree or another.
Yeah, for an episode.
Yeah.
They were messed up for an episode.
It took them a little while to get back to normal.
But then they were all right back to exactly who they were.
Longer than everyone else. But.
And, you know, and then they do the bit with Zoe and Kyle go running off to Florida to get away from everything. And these two characters, the actors are in the opening credits and there's no f***ing way they're writing them off the show in the second to last episode to have them have a peaceful life. No, they show right back up the next episode. Yep. I'm like, what a cheap piece of writing. That was so bad. Nobody bought that.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, there were other characters that, you know, Delphine and Marie just like, oh, they're okay. Well, they kind of have their little feud settled and they're in hell now. And okay, we'll never talk about them again. Nobody ever misses them.
No.
All the other characters. There's been these people, voodoo witch woman that this coven of witches has been having problems with.
A couple hundred years.
For a couple hundred years. And then Kathy Bates' character, who's been living with them and serving them, being the maid, basically, yeah, suddenly isn't there. They have a throwaway line at one point. Jessica Lange says, "Where has all the help gone?"
Yeah.
And that's it. Nobody ever cared from that point forward. They just, oh, well, they're gone. And there was no, like, big battle. There was no big witch fight. I was like, why aren't you setting up? Yeah. And I understand that the show isn't about that kind of big stuff, but the last episode, it's like, oh, we're going to do which witch can perform the seven wonders, the seven most powerful spells of witchydom. And they spent over half of the episode just people walking around doing those things, mm-hmm, with, like, you know, bitching at each other. And the young lady witches they're using their spell abilities to make the other, I'm going to make you slap yourself. You know, uh-huh. Yeah, that was fun in the second episode. How about you guys show me that you're really powerful and one of you is going to become the supreme and become the badass witch of this coven? No, they're just, I'm going to make you dance. I'm going to use telekinesis to make you dance around. And then Misty, who was set up through the whole season to be something really special, astrally projects herself into into hell or whatever that place was and just can't get out.
Can't come back.
Oh, well.
Oops.
Oh, well, that character, huh?
And her body just
dissolves. No hint anywhere along the way that she was going to have a problem with that, that there would be some sort of a challenge for her. Not just, well, I'm going to go over here and fall asleep, and I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. That was a little weird.
Ugh. Not going to watch it again. I'll watch next season, but I'm not going to watch this season over because it's just disappointing.
I didn't watch any of them over again.
Oh, by the way, spoilers. No, don't. I'm done. Ando, would you like to talk about animation?
And by animation, I'm assuming you mean anime, right?
Well, anime is part of animation, so true. You could talk about non-anime animation as well. It's up to you.
True, but that, okay. Well, what specifically would you like me to speak on?
Go. You have the floor.
Well,
you have the mic. Talk.
No, he's right there.
Talk. Hey, mixer boy.
There's the derailing again.
I don't remember what I was going to talk about anymore.
Now,
well, when the guy without control of the mixer says you have the mic,
I shouldn't be
it
so
only
presumptive.
It seemed natural.
Okay.
And sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I'm behind the times, I think, on anime because, you know, most people would expect that, you know, a geek like me would have been all into it through college and everything like that. But I honestly had not gotten into it because a little advice for anyone who's into anime who has friends who aren't. There's always that sort of perception. This isn't just with anime. This is like with anything that if someone doesn't like something, you say, oh, well, you just haven't experienced the right one yet. You know, like someone likes anime or doesn't like anime, you're like, oh, well, you haven't seen the right one yet. Well, that actually was true with me because the first time I was exposed to it, a friend of mine got me to watch one that if you like it, I'm sorry that I'm going to bash it, but it's the wrong one for someone's introduction to anime, and that is Princess Mononoke.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
It's really deep.
It's very dark, too.
It's a heavy, burdensome
movie. Oh, yeah. And that was the first exposure I got to anime. It turned me off for years because I hated it. And no offense if you like it, but I didn't at all.
Okay.
But then my wife and I were going to staff MomoCon like almost 2 years ago, and we decided we wanted to actually give it a try again, and we started watching The Right Ones, and I found that and here basically you can't really have a, you know, you can't really maintain a man card and say what I'm about to say, but basically I found that my favorite animes are actually the squishier ones, the sort of, you know, the harems and the romantic comedies, the teen dramas, that kind of stuff is just and I guess I should clarify anime terminology here, harem, that a harem is a particular style of anime that is typically represented by a clueless male character
surrounded by
female characters who fall in love with him and fight over the right to be with him, and he's completely oblivious to this, and usually at the end there's some kind of major, you know, conflict that happens, and then it kind of goes to a status quo. He never actually like chooses one of them. It's the anime is more about his the antics that happen as the girls vie for his attention.
So just to be clear, it's not an animated orgy.
No, it okay. is not an animated orgy. But it is, that's why I wanted
not
to clarify.
All anime is porn.
That's why I wanted to clarify, because okay. I realized I said harem.
Harem.
Understood.
I wanted to make sure people didn't think that's what I was talking
about.
It's
just about. A colloquial term yeah. for what, yeah. what they call it. Yeah.
Would you have preferred I said gangbang in an orgy?
Jeez.
Oh, so, wow.
So that's what it's not.
Yeah, that's what it's not. What it?
So you get into the. You're not so much the action adventure guy. Where yeah, well, like, I mean, I'm going to watch something fluffy and light. And
yeah, like, well, I mean, as far as action, I like Soul
easy
Leader.
To watch and popcorny. And
yeah, well, I like Soul Eater, which is more action oriented. That one was fun.
Okay,
and there was actually there's one of the ones that was kind of darkish that I really really liked was called Future Diary. Future Diary is basically the setup of that one is there's a dude who a high school student, because like they're all high school students in yeah. anime, but he's constantly like using his cell phone to use it to keep a diary of everything that goes on around him, and he ends up getting involved in this game that the god of the world sets up with these 12 people who he makes them have things that can foretell the future and says, now have a battle royale, everybody try and kill everybody else, and whoever is the last one standing becomes the new god. It's actually really, really good.
High stakes.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet prize, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you say that's a good introduction? Is that a good gateway anime?
Perhaps, but it also depends on whether this is another one thing that I've migrated from when I first got into it. Obviously, coming from you know, never having watched anime before, I started watching in with English dubs. But throughout the time I've been watching anime, I've really gotten to where I enjoy far more having the Japanese audio as the subtitles. I find that it's easier for me to connect with the characters and relate to them. Like, for some reason, it isn't even just the mouth motions, because, I mean, it's animated most of the time. That doesn't make that big a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like the cadence, the way that English, the Japanese translates to English. Sometimes they have to rush sentences
right. well, it
together.
Sound, it'll sound
it's
a little
awkward.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's the awkward speech.
But also, sometimes even just the tone of voice, like the voices go better when you hear the slightly higher pitched Japanese voices. I find myself connecting better with the characters. So.
What's a good gateway anime?
The one that I started with was called School Rumble. It's just a sort of teen sort of romantic comedy type one. There's also, if you were more into more action stuff, there's a great one called Sword Art Online. It's kind of popular right now, and it's really good. It's a virtual reality video game that gets really popular.
With the big headset thing?
Yeah, big thing that goes over, and you're actually in the game world, and then the creator of the game at a certain point literally traps everyone inside the game, says that they can't log out, and if someone physically disconnects the device, they die. Like, it's
Whoa.
Connected to your system, and so basically, he said if you die in the game, you die in real life. So the whole point is someone has to win the game, and if somebody wins the game, then it all turns back off and you can leave. So again, high stakes. And that one's a pretty good gateway. It doesn't take much to get into that one, especially if you're into video games.
And it sounds very Matrixy.
It mm-hmm. is. It was a really, really well done one.
So if you like The Matrix, the one movie that they made, that one great movie.
That one really good movie.
Sort out you should check that out. Okay.
And the last one that I want to talk about, because this one kind of incorporates a lot of elements, is one I just rewatched. It's called Angel Beats. That one's one I watched originally in English back. That was one of the earlier ones that I watched, but we recently rewatched it in Japanese, and it's a short one. There's a lot of these that you can pick up on Hulu that are just like, you know, 12 episodes.
So is it Angel Beats, B-E-A-T-S?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So it's not about the vegetable.
No, no, no. Okay. No. It's Beats.
12 episodes of purple vegetable.
Earthy.
The setup on that one is basically that it's, again, it's set in a high school, of course, but this one is basically that this high school is the afterlife. Everyone who's in it has already died, and they're here because something about their life was, you know, basically they have unresolved problems. They weren't happy, and there's this group that decided to rebel against God because they felt that their life and their death was unfair. And they're fighting against God through the persona of a girl named Angel that they perceive as his agent in this world to obliterate them and make them leave the world. And then like halfway through, it just shifts. Like what you think it's about, really it's not. And I won't spoil anything because I'm not like Craig here. So.
Wow.
But no, it's really, really good, and I will say that, and unashamedly so, that during the final episode, like for the entire second half of the final episode, I was crying my eyes out, like sobbing. It is really good.
That's
special.
Yeah. That's awfully. I feel a connection with you now.
I'm not crying right now, Craig.
But you can cry. You're a man. Oh, Lord.
No, Mike, remember, this is not who, it's not Craig, remember.
It's not love letters for Ando.
Well, it could be, but.
I didn't write a love letter to you.
Oh, you two are having a moment.
Yeah. Well, if you're having a moment, then can I be part of your Kingdom of Ophidia then?
Sure. Well, what position?
What should I be?
What, I don't know. Pick one. I don't care.
Well, I mean, I feel at this point.
Even
I'm
if I do
jester.
Care, I'm not allowed to be offended at your choice.
We can still disagree though. You're the king, right?
Nah.
I mean, it seems like either I'd be your game master or I'd be your jester.
You can be the jester.
Yeah, court jester.
You can be my fool.
Yeah,
with
fool.
An E.
What am I again?
The minister of slack.
Thank you.
So we're going to have to start asking every guest when they come on. We'll just keep building the roster of Ophendia.
The court. Yeah.
Order in the court.
So speaking of love.
I smell a segue.
Do segues have smell? I would think that it would be the
It smells like love.
The sound of
the
a
sound
segue.
Of a segue. Like... I've never been on a Segway, so I don't know.
Oh, that kind of Segway.
Dude, I was about to say, when I was going to college at Kennesaw State University, there was a dude who rode a Segway all over the campus. Like, you could always just see him.
Wasn't the security?
No, it wasn't the security. It was just this random student. And he'd come in, he'd actually ride it into the cafeteria and park it next to the sub shop.
So if he could afford a Segway, what was he doing at KSU?
I don't know. Anyway. I wasn't a friend of mine.
How about we actually segue?
With a G-U-E?
Yes.
Oh, that kind of segue. Okay.
Welcome to Love Letters with Nerdburger. Where we read our love letters.
Because when Ando was on a month or so ago, he threatened to write a love letter. He did. Threatened to write a love letter to Michael Cera.
More and like you challenged me to write a love letter to Michael Cera.
Fair enough. So he did that, and Mike and I also wrote love letters.
Ooh.
So this could be really, really good, and this could be just terrible.
It will definitely be sappy no matter what.
But all don't right. worry, the show is almost over. Either way.
This might be the end of the show in more ways than one.
Ando, since...
Oh, you want me to start?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, this was your idea.
I brought
idea?
This on myself, I guess. All right. Dear Michael Cera. Hey, It's me, Ando. You know, the guy you absolutely blew away with Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yeah, that was me. Oh, sure. The rest of the world only sees George Michael Bluth, but not me. They say you're the same socially awkward character in every movie, but not me.
I sometimes
say they make fun of you because you're from Canada, but not me, eh? See, I can tell it deep down. You're just looking for that special person to be super bad with. That one person to share an infinite playlist with. My paper heart beats only for you.
Oh.
I'm your nega, Scott. So, Michael, won't you be mine? Love always. Ando.
Wow.
Well, it's good that it got a little sappy, because I was thinking the voice you were reading it in is if it had gotten a little darker, it would sound really stalkery.
See, I thought,
hey,
I was
Ando,
going...
remember me? That guy that you blew away with? Whoa.
So you thought I was kind of going Lena, the overly attached girlfriend or something?
I was afraid that was going to get...
I was waiting for the I'm your number one fan line.
No, and I'm outside your window right now.
No, come on now. Give me a little credit.
I know. It's just this my love... imagination goes...
Obviously.
I just was wondering, well, how is he going to end this?
The love letter is coming from inside the house!
So, you know, don't grab a knife and run upstairs.
Yeah. Dude, I actually wanted to, I tried to tweet a preview of this and tag him on it, see if I get his attention, but he doesn't have a Twitter.
Wow.
The dude, as socially awkward as he is, does not have a Twitter.
Surprise.
I can't believe that. So I tried, Michael. So if you actually somehow hear this, then, you know, I have somehow succeeded.
All right,
your turn.
Collecting yourselves. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
You want to go? Okay.
Since I'm deviating from the traditional love letter.
Well, I am kind of too, but.
I think yours is going to bring it back around, though.
Okay. You have confidence in me and not so much confidence in you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Alrighty.
We want to hit on a high, end on a high note.
So. Right. You always end with the best bit and you start with the second best bit.
Okay.
All the stuff in the middle just gets you to the end.
So you're the second best bit?
I don't know. Just,
well, that's what he's trying to say.
No, well, I was saying that's how it's done.
Considering that I was, you know, a last minute replacement.
Then. Yeah. But that's how, you know, set lists for songs or for comics or whatever, that's what they try to do, is they open up really strong, get everybody on your side, and then always end with something that leaves them wanting more. But maybe it'll be nothing but great all the way through. Take it away,
right, Mike. Unless you're making a mixtape, in which case you want to start strong and then take it up a notch and then bring it back down a notch.
Okay, Mike, go.
Mine is entitled One Dozen Haiku.
Oh, jeez.
I spread this around a little
bit. You titled your love letter?
Yeah.
It's not... It, okay.
Hey,
go ahead.
It's our game. We're allowed to play it the way we want.
And these were generated not because I had any particular affection or hatred, and believe me, there's a lot of both, toward any particular person, but whether or not their name had five syllables in it or could be tweaked to have five syllables in it.
Okay, so these are haiku.
Thus, the name One Dozen Haiku.
Right, and you've recited...
Captain Obvious, thanks again.
You've recited haiku on the podcast before. It was all haiku about your inner... You had like an ear pimple or something.
Pimple in my ear, yeah.
He recited three haiku.
Wow,
about
that was
ear
a while
pimple.
Ago.
Yeah, that was back in the single digits, I think.
That's
Andy's first episode.
It's a huge callback there.
Yeah. Okay, so Mike is skilled in writing haiku.
Okay.
He's done it before.
Kim Kardashian. Ginormous hairy buttocks. Kanye can have you. Neil Patrick Harris. So funny. Don't disappear. Also, I'm not gay. Because How I Met Your Mother is ending.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, now I'm taking liberties here. There's an apostrophe inserted.
You're an artiste.
Jill Yin Anderson.
Right.
Absent from TV too long. Watch Crisis this spring. And then, of course, David Duchovny. Why won't you love me, David Duchovny?
Okay. We're all looking to see your Allison walking by and why is my husband saying, David Duchovny, why won't you love me?
Why, Angie Jolie? First Billy Bob, then Brad Pitt. Now your boobs are gone.
Jeez. Wow. Inappropriate. Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
It's been like a year.
Okay.
Has it?
Let us know when it's not, when it's been long enough.
Okay. Okay.
Nicole Polizzi. Thank God your show's been canceled. Snooki, you suck.
That's the hatred.
You put Whoa. Two in that haiku. I'm
What's that?
You put two in that haiku. I'm impressed.
What do you mean two?
Two people.
Snooki is.
Is Nicole Polizzi.
Oh, Nicole Polizzi.
Just goes to show what I know, I guess.
Her Captain Oblivious.
Yeah, there you go. Again,
I do my alter ego.
The name had five syllables.
Right.
Aiken for Congress? North Carolina, no less. Must love second place. Because he's gay and it's North Carolina.
And he took second place.
In Idol.
In Idol, yeah.
Hey there, Dan Harmon. Seriously, stop talking. Size 11 mouth.
Wow. What's that about?
You haven't been keeping up with... Oh, well, I haven't been keeping up with all the drama on Community.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. I pretty much just, you know, looked up everything.
Okay.
Why he came back, why Chevy Chase is gone, why Donald Glover left and all that. And it pretty mm-hmm. much, a lot of it has to do with him getting kicked off the show in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Was that he just can't shut up. I think he's got that Harmontown podcast where he just trashes everybody.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Well done.
Mayim Bialik. Love you on Big Bang Theory. Never watched Blossom. Now, part of the thing with haiku is that obviously it's the five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, at some point in there, you're supposed to kind of switch gears.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good positive, negative,
kind of gotcha.
opposite kind of a thing. So I'm, in some cases, I keep to that. Not all. Vladimir Putin. So we've got the Winter Olympics going on right now. Shirtless, riding animals. I am still not gay. Somebody, there's the picture of him riding a horse with no shirt.
Mm-hmm. I kind of gathered
You've
that.
You've seen that one?
No, but somebody I gathered it from your haiku.
Okay, somebody photoshopped him from that picture onto the back of a bear running through the water, and it's wow. really good.
Awesome.
Look it up.
I am.
Steven Wozniak. Business advice not wanted. Go solder something. This week, every once in a while, somebody asks him, so what do you think about what Apple's doing? And he has some crazy crackpot idea about what he would do if he were actually at any, position in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He gets paid like $1 a year or something, and he's technically an employee, but he doesn't actually work there. And this week he said, Apple should make an Android phone. And then people said, I'm sorry, what? Why? And then,
okay,
and
so you're turning this into a news story.
And then he claimed, well, some of these are topical, like okay. Vladimir Putin. So then he claimed he didn't say it. I never said that. We have you on video. I didn't say that. Little nuts.
Okay.
And now, finally.
Okay.
And this one's for you, Craig.
Oh, uh-oh. Good Lord.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. Hubba, hubba. Wow.
Well played.
Thank you.
Ooh.
I don't know. You got a hard act to follow there, Craig.
That was good. I wasn't expecting 12 haiku.
You were a half second away from a spit take.
Yeah. I was wondering about that.
Darn it.
What happened? The show's over.
Okay.
All right.
Mike
all
spit
right.
into the mixer.
All right. I have to get myself calmed down here because I was laughing so much. I have to try to be serious and read this whole thing.
Down, boy. By the way, I found the picture of Putin riding the bear in the water. It's pretty well done.
We'll put that up on the website.
There you go. Okay. I wrote a sonnet.
Ooh. Fancy poetry.
Specifically a Shakespearean sonnet, an English sonnet.
Is it iambic pentameter?
It is iambic pentameter. Oh. It is
nerd.
Three four-line stanzas followed by a rhyming couplet, as opposed to the Italian, which is an eight and a six.
The Italian?
The Italian.
Yeehaw.
Now, if you get where I'm going, I'm not going to tell you the title, but okay. If you get where I'm going with this, and I think Mike will, don't jump the route. Let me get to the end. I first met you as feisty Annette Lutz. The wolf Bob died, your hands around his throat. In Pleasantville, I spied the thing which juts below your mouth, and I began to dote. You stole my heart as brazen Tracy Flick. Your mandible sent packing all my fears. Next, Evelyn, with that colossal prick named Patrick Bateman, you left streaming tears. Then, as Elle Woods, you turned court upside down. You won the case, and so my heart was thine. As lovely June, my mouth it could not frown, you challenged me to walk the line. With which fine feature did my heart Reese win? Alas, not with her spoon, but with her chin. That's my love letter to Reese Witherspoon's chin.
Aww. Specifically her chin. You didn't even mention her forehead. Will there be a sequel about her forehead?
I don't know. Forehead would be hard to rhyme.
Have you seen the pictures?
The problem is forehead doesn't fit iambic pentameter because the accent's on the first syllable.
Have you seen the picture that's Reese Witherspoon and then Reese without her spoon?
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon.
Reese without her spoon.
I've seen variations. Reese Witherspoon, Reese with her knife, Reese with her fork.
Yeah, something like that.
Had she not gotten arrested for... you know, yelling at a police officer in Atlanta. We may not have ever talked about her on this show.
True. And every two lines was a different movie, including mentioning of...
You got a lot in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Freeway, Pleasantville, Election, American Psycho, Legally Blonde, and Walk the Line.
No Sweet Home Alabama?
It's in my list, but I went with, I kind of had to pick and choose, like, what names I could do, and I kind of figured out, like, how I needed to end it, because I needed it to rhyme right, and it's actually iambic pentameter. It took me a while to get it into that form.
Understand that I say this with the highest of affection when I repeat, nerd!
I got really anal retentive about it, too. I had it, at one point, I had it to, like, two lines weren't quite iambic pentameter, but I could, if I just adjusted kind of how I said them and just put the accents in different places, it would sound a little weird, but it would sound iambic pentameter. But I said that I massaged it into actual iambic pentameter.
Good for you. And I was like, what did I get myself into?
No, I knew what I was getting myself into, but this just
nerds.
I was very happy when I was able to use the word juts.
It does jut
a bit, doesn't it?
Speaking of nerds, Revenge of the Nerds was on.
Oh yeah,
earlier this morning.
Oh cool.
Yeah,
did you watch it?
A little bit. I watched the scene where they had their party, where they were still trying to get into the fraternity to be part of the fraternity, the beginning,
they first get to the campus.
Well, they no.
When they went to, okay.
They have the party with the moose, the girls from the moose fraternity, whatever that one was. All the
Canadian mouse.
They're a bunch of pigs. Yeah. That one, yeah.
Yeah. And then they let all the pigs into the house and wreck the party.
Who let the pigs?
But
in?
They were oink, oink, the party oink. Was going very badly until they all started smoking Booger's pot. Like, it's been so long since I've seen that movie, and I saw that movie at such a young age that I didn't remember that, and when I saw it, I didn't know what pot was. Like, wow, I should watch this whole movie again. Oh, crap, they're coming over. Time to record the show. So, that's on my list now.
Good. Are we done here?
We're done.
I'm spent.
Oh, where can they well Ando, thank you for coming to record the podcast.
Okay, quick call back to RPGs for just a moment. We have in our groups, always in all of our campaigns, we always like to, whenever somebody says the inevitable things that you say that cracks the entire group up and stops session for 5 minutes while everyone laughs, we started writing those down to remember them. And there was one time that in a previous campaign, I was trying to get across the point to a character who had inside knowledge that I'd given him that he wasn't using, that this was the purpose for him being where he was. And I'm like, this is why you came to this country. Ooh. And they just like died laughing because of the pause there. So they still make fun of me to this day for that. The people who were involved in that campaign will be like, so this is why you came. ... to this country.
Since we're going down this road.
I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I know you're going to end up listening to this. I apologize.
During the latest Snowmageddon here this week, there was a picture somebody put on Twitter, on the internet, of I think it was... No, it was Incoming, Georgia.
Incoming!
Which is spelled C-U-M-M-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. Up Georgia, for up the 400 yes. There. And it was somebody's Hummer.
Oh, good lord. Thing.
It was like flipped at a 45 degree angle. It wasn't on its side. It wasn't on its roof. It was like at this weird 45 degree angle. So they crashed their Hummer Incoming. In an improbable way.
So many jokes.
Yeah.
Too little time.
Oh my God.
Oh. We'll put a picture of that. Or not.
Ando, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys for having me back.
He's crying.
I'm not crying. I'm laughing.
Mike, where can they find us?
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitters and the Facebook, and email us NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com. And Ando, where can they find you?
AndoCon.org, Facebook.com/AndoCon, at AndoCon on the Twitters, and Meetup.com/AndoCon-gaming for any of your local gaming desires. Yes, I will never stop doing that.
On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike and Craig talk more architecture with tongue and groove.
It's boring. Boring, everybody. Quit boring, everyone.
Furring strips. Butt glazing. And concealed openings. You laughed. Wasn't that boring, was it?
You said butt.
Yeah. Bye.
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 So, Ando.
My, Craig.
You want to talk about... Let's start that over.
Take two.
Wow. This is going to be an outtake, right? We're going to do an outtake.
Blooper!